Hello, everyone. You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard. And I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. Joining me, as always, is the boys. Starting from the top, he wants to be the king of the pirates, Helix.
Gotta go, gotta go.
He wants to be the Hokage, Sacro.
Oh, I'm so glad you gave me the Hokage. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just glad to be here, really.
He wants to be happy. Gamma.
Wow. I'm out, guys.
I mean, I'm out. I think he's happy.
Later.
He seems happy. It's his day today.
That seems to attest that he's not happy.
I ran out of things. You know what? Let me try that one more time.
No. No take backs.
He wants to be a captain of, what were they just called, captains in Bleach? He wants to be a captain.
He wants to be the king of games, Gamma.
Oh.
He wants to be happy.
Don't we all?
I blanked on that last one. I was like, there's another goal, I'm sure. I'm like, where? Oh, well.
No. It's like, he wants to be happy, but he's always happy. He must be depressed.
But he's always happy, then he has achieved his goal. The rest of us need to get on it.
How do I become Hokage? What is the One Piece?
What is the One Piece?
What exactly is a Pokemon Master? We never got an answer in the show, ever.
Wait, you like, did. Ash won.
No, Ash became a world champion, and then after that, it's like, well, what is a Pokemon Master, Professor Oak? And he just kind of gave us a non-answer. He was like, oh, a Pokemon Master is just anyone who could be good friends with a Pokemon. What in the hell? Dude, we've been watching since 1997. You mean to tell me that that was it all along?
I mean, if you think about it.
So the whole goal was to be friends with Togepi.
It was a very real thing, and it made so many people angry because it really, literally was the friends we made along the way.
I'm pretty sure Red was the story behind Red was the Pokemon Master storyline.
Right.
You guys read the manga? It's so good.
The manga is really good, yes. I actually have the initial prints from before they released it as a manga. By Tokyo, I think it was Tokyo Pop. I don't remember it, but before they released it as like a manga volume, which is the traditional, they had it as kind of like these comic book sized things. So it's like a singular issue of a comic book, and it's an entire chapter of the Pokemon manga. And I have those, and I'm like, these are worth nothing, as far as I can tell. I don't know. I got them from a comic shop for very cheap. And I'm like, there's no way that a comic book shop would have let them go for cheap if they were worth anything.
I actually have the Emerald. I think it's Emerald. No, maybe it might be one of the, it's the Hoenn region, the manga. I bought them in Japan. Cannot read them, but I own them.
I can read a little bit of manga now. I've been practicing. So I have a Shonen Jump volume that has a bunch of current titles, and I'm trying to read my way through it the best I can. And the thing is, I don't have any vocabulary, so I can sound out the words, but I have no clue what they're saying. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Today's episode, if you can't tell by our intro, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite anime of all time. Specifically, we're going to be discussing those anime that made us fans of the genre. So each one of us has an experience with, not fans of the genre, but fans of the medium, I should say. Each one of us has experiences with anime that got us, hooked on or into the anime scene. And ever since then, this is who we've been as people. So basically, here's the way that I kind of wanted to break this one down, because I figured that this one would be a more casual one, but we need a little bit of structure. So here's the structure and how it's going to go. I'm going to call on one of you, and you're going to have 5 minutes to basically tell us about your experience. And if within those 5 minutes you are not finished, then we're just all going to join in and discuss the thing that you're talking about. So that way everybody gets their moment with the talking stick, so to speak. And then after that, all of us can either agree or disagree with everything that you hold dear.
I can go first if you want.
Sure. Let me go ahead and put 5 minutes on the clock.
I haven't watched this in years. Let's go. Have you guys heard of Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan?
Yes.
That was the... No. That was the anime that got me back into the entirety of watching anime. I took a long period after during high school, didn't watch it at all. Got to college, decided to watch it again. And this one, Bleach, and I want to say it's Inuyasha, but I feel bad saying it's Inuyasha. Inuyasha was probably like the three that I started watching again. But Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan, is about a kid. Actually, I don't know if he's how old he is. I think he's a teen. Maybe he's young. But he essentially is part of a clan of yokai demons. Have you guys heard of, yokais are demons. Have you guys heard of the March of 100 Demons?
Yes.
So that's what it's connected to. That's the whole backstory is that his grandfather led that. And he's actually half human, Nura is. So he's got a human form, which looks, you know, like a Yu-Gi-Oh character. And he's got his yokai form, which looks like, well, not a Yu-Gi-Oh character. And the story's good. It's like, it's really interesting. I wish I could show you for this stream. I guess I could put it in chat. It doesn't matter.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we do this? Tell us about the story. Tell us about the characters. Really paint us a word picture here.
I don't remember the story at all. The only thing I remember so he has to do a lot of cool stuff. And I liked him when he's in his yokai form. Did not care for his human form until later. But the tragedy of it all is the second season, which gets really good. They canceled it. And it only got 2 seasons, even though there's a whole nother arc that's only in the manga. And the ice demon girl, best girl, that's all I got. That wasn't even 5 minutes, but I'm done. That's it.
No, you have 3 whole minutes. You got to fill in this talk.
All right. I watched Bleach for the first time after, too, and that was pretty good.
Okay.
First arc, at least. I did not care for pretty much all of Waco Mundo, actually. And then
it was a retelling of Soul Society.
It was a retelling of the Safe Rukia arc.
Now, I will say this. I am looking through Google images right now, and Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan, this has some art that makes me feel like I would actually dig this.
Have you never seen it?
I've heard of it. So, like, I have heard of Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan, but I've never actually seen it or read it or anything. Now, something that I should mention is that this goes without saying, but I'm a huge fan of, like, just samurai. I think samurai are dope as fuck. So seeing, like, characters with katanas and, you know, like, just samurai aesthetic, I love that, right? Yokai, love yokai. My avatar, I am a yokai. Helix is a yokai. Gamma is a yokai. Sekiro, I made you a cyberpunk guy.
Thank you. I like cyberpunk. Yeah. It was good.
Right. So, what's it called? This screams Bard would love Nura, Rise of the Yokai Clan.
You would. You should watch
something
it.
Something that it looks to me like very similar. Just the characters, the air that he has around him. I assume his name is Nura. The air he has around him makes me feel like this is within the same demographic as Samurai Deeper Kyo, if anyone has ever seen that. Anyone ever heard of Samurai Deeper Kyo?
Sounds really familiar, but no, I have not.
Familiar.
Okay, so yeah, it looks like it. You know, like, hey, character looks very, very menacing. He's got kind of like the cool red glowing eyes, and, you know, he's a samurai guy. Except that Samurai Deeper Kyo, the story was very, very confusing. This one seems a lot more straightforward, and I kind of like it.
It's it's definitely easy to follow. It was in Jump Comics, or Weekly Shonen Jump, so, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't nearly as popular, I guess, but it was there for 4 years, and then it ended. But I can read you the plot from Wikipedia.
Yes, please, read us the plot.
Riku Nura is a three-quarters human and a one-quarter yokai, in which he has a human form in the day, but transforms into his yokai form at night. He lives in a house full of yokai, along with his yokai grandfather. Trying to escape his fate, Riku does good deeds in order to avoid becoming a yokai. Despite his grandfather's wish that Riku succeeded him as the third heir of the Nura clan, Riku is different because he helps humans. He eventually comes to terms with his yokai blood and decides to take up the position of the third heir of the Nura clan. Multiple factions aim to stop him or usurp his position, and he must gather friends and allies and new Hyaki Yako under his name or under his banner of Fear. So he's basically trying to become what his grandpa was, but he is fighting to stay more human.
Okay. I kind of like that. You know, it's like a child of both worlds, kind of trying to be kind to the one where he grew up in without like succumbing to like the inherent darkness or like savagery of the other world. Fun. I dig it. Yeah, you kind of like just nailed your 5 minutes here. So I guess if I were to ask this, like, because we're discussing like, you know, the things that made us fans of the genre. Well, what about it, you know, kind of caught you? Like, tell us a little bit about like, you know, how this anime impacted you and like how your tastes developed from there. Because you mentioned it in the same breath as Bleach. So yeah. I kind of feel like you kind of had a specific type of anime there.
So when I got back into it all, I really wanted to watch things similar to Naruto because I'd already rewatched Naruto at that point. I didn't get into Shippuden yet, but I was like, I want something different before I go back into Shippuden. And so I ended up picking this up and Bleach, and I watched them simultaneously. I watched Nara by myself, and I watched Bleach when my brother was around because he was watching it as well. And we had different hours that we were home. So I watched all of this, loved the storyline, the characters, how the world was presenting itself. His friend, the one of the love interests, because there's two, she was like what do they call them, like spiritualists or whatever, where they fight demons using
spiritualists. Yeah, like a spiritualist. There's a word for it. Like
there is. Shoot.
Buddhist monks.
She yeah, was
like
a Buddhist
monk, but like
she was trained anyways to be one, and she didn't know he was one.
A priest?
Yeah, kind of like a priest. There's a name for it though, specifically.
A shrine maiden. You see them in like in all anime, and there's a correct word for it, and I am blanking on it right now.
It's like Shinrikyo or something like that.
Shinrikyo is that cult.
Is that the cult? Is that what that means? Okay, hold on. I can't find it.
It's a priest.
It might just be a priest. You might be right.
The name for a shrine maiden in Shinto is Miko.
The word
translates to woman of God.
Well, that's not it. She's just a spiritualist for now, we'll say.
An Onmyoji?
Is that the word I was thinking of?
Onmyoji is another one, yes.
That's it then. Yeah, that's got a Yoshi. Anyways, she's like, kind of falls for his demon form after she sees him save her, I think. I'm barely remembering this show because I haven't watched it in 10 years at least. Well,
what's his demon form out of curiosity? Because you keep referencing it and I don't see it like in the Google search.
It literally...
Isn't it like a wolf?
No, he's human still.
He looks like a wolf. So, I mean, like, he has wolf-like qualities. Maybe like a kitsune or something?
I'll put it in our chat. This is the main page.
Oh, the art is pretty good.
Yeah, he looks just like what's his name from Yu-Gi-Oh! Second series, I guess. The school one. Like the friend. But if you click on
Yu-Gi-Oh! He looks like Cyrus? What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I gotta see this. Okay, yeah. I see it. So this is his base form. This is his human form. Mm-hmm. And then like
his yokai he turns form.
Into the white hair. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
I saw it and I was like, wait a minute. This is the demon form? He looks so much less cool. I had them backwards.
Yeah, no, that's his yokai form. It's really cool. I'm a big fan. So I'm a big fan of characters who have alternate forms that they live under. So kind of like, you know, Batman dons the cowl, right? He's different than Bruce Wayne.
Right.
I love that archetype, and anime doesn't do it nearly enough compared to like Western comics and stuff.
I mean, when you think about it, it kind of does it all the time, but it's never like the way that Western comics do it, where like, hey, I assume the guise of this thing and I am suddenly, you know, I don the mask to become greater than what I can be as an individual. In anime, it's like, oh, I enter Demon Fox mode and now I'm out of control until I learn to master it. Or I enter, what's it called, Vastal Lord mode and suddenly I am out of control until I can learn to master it. It almost feels like in anime specifically, like your alternate form is usually like a more primal version of yourself, like all this rage, anger and stuff that you have to get under control in order to be better. It's almost like... Whereas I think this is a Batman quote where Batman says that he puts on the mask to become what he could be. In Japan, it's almost like, no, 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 this is the thing you must never allow yourself to become.
They always do.
Mm-hmm. I thought that it was more like Batman was his real self and Bruce Wayne was the mask.
Yeah, that's another interpretation of it, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that one too.
But I really like that storytelling opportunity where you have someone who people can see and be like, oh, this guy's so cool. And then they see this other version and they're like, okay, this is a, you know, just a nice guy, whatever. But like he can become someone else through the mask or the other form. And it is really well in the show. Of course, there's no ending really because season two is just like, we got one fight off and now he's about to go to march and be, he's trying to revive the clans or reunite the clans. Because there's a lot of infighting with him taking over because he's not fully yokai. He's also got a human form. Even though his yokai form, he looks just like a cool human. Like, that's it.
He just looks like a cool human, exactly.
His hair does flip like that. Every time he turns, it just turns a different way. It's really weird looking.
It's like Jesse from Pokemon. She has that same type of hair that when she turns her head, it just flips the other way, right?
Basically. I mean, the author made it so it's impossible to cosplay him is all I'm going to say. But I really like this show.
The rest of the costume is like so easy. Like, this is a yukata, my man. Like, this would be simple. Oh, well.
Make it so that you have like from two different angles that look exactly the same.
He also wears Western themed clothes in his regular form and then goes full like classic Japanese clothes. So there might
classic
be like
Japanese.
There might be like something there. I never really thought too heavily on it, but he does wear like hoodies and jeans and Converse, I think.
So just to kind of wrap up your time with the stick here, Sekiro, two questions. First one is, what do you feel the themes of this story are? And do they resonate with you still to this day?
The biggest theme is coming to terms with who you are and breaking the mold that it's okay for you to be not fully connected with your destiny of sorts, kind of, because he's human, but he's also yokai.
Mm-hmm.
And he's mostly human. He's barely yokai. He can't even control his yokai form. Even by the end of the second chapter, I'm pretty sure he wasn't able to control his form. He wasn't able to transfer back and forth. We might get a lot of comments about how wrong I am on this, but we'll see. I should have rewatched it before coming in here. I was going to talk about Darker Than Black, but I was like, oh, I'm making a whole episode on that one. We'll hold off on that, because that was truly my favorite one that I could talk for hours on it. But that was the biggest theme. So
second question here was going to be like, okay, so this is the one that got you back into the anime medium. What was the first thing you ever watched that was an anime?
The first ever anime I watched was either Dragon Ball Z or Pokemon, as most people would say. But actually, no, Astro Boy. My uncle really liked Astro Boy when he was a kid.
Astro Boy, okay.
So I watched a lot of Astro Boy growing up. And my mom was super into another show that I don't remember.
I was specifically yesterday, I was watching a documentary on Osamu Tezuka, who is the creator of Astro Boy. And, you know, like, you want to remember these folks fondly because they're the fathers of this medium, right? Like, kind of the same way you want to remember Walt Disney fondly because, hey, you know what? He revolutionized animation here in the West. But Osamu Tezuka is allegedly, and I don't know this, I wasn't around at that time, but allegedly the father also of the tactics that they use to crank out manga super fast today, where it's like, yeah, are you a manga artist? You're not going to get paid a lot, and you need to crank out as much as possible. You know, it's so apparently that's a thing. I have to send you guys the video because I was like, my jaw was on the floor. I'm like, no, come on, man.
I mean, it's not worse than arguably. Disney, don't ask what Disney was doing during World War II.
I try not to ask what anyone was doing in World War II. During that time, nobody was making good choices. Nobody. So it's just like, look, can we just agree to be good moving forward? And everyone says yes. I suspect that they're lying, but everyone says yes, you know?
They're at least making the point to try to be civil.
Right. I mean, or at least out in the open.
Japan and Germany still can't have armies, but that's a whole different discussion.
That is a whole different discussion. And in our other podcast, The Damage Step, where we discuss world history in the same way that we would discuss anime.
Pro-Stalin or anti-Stalin? What are we thinking?
Oh, God damn it.
Where are we falling on the sky, guys? The line is very thin.
Damn it. All righty. So with that said, all right, thank you, Sacro, for sharing your thoughts on your preferences and your favorite series and all that.
Thank you. I will come more prepared next time with notes and lots and lots of pictures.
A whole PowerPoint.
Yeah, I was going to say PowerPoint, yeah.
And I just like roll with it.
I always take notes before these, so my bad.
This was supposed to be a more like off the cuff episode, just to kind of like hold us over until we can kind of like get caught up on Darker Than Black. So, with that being said, Gamma, you're next.
Well, my first anime,
mm-hmm.
I could either sing it or hum it, and you guys will know.
Fighting Evil by Moonlight.
Yep. I shit you not.
I was right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about that show.
Well, the thing is, back when I was a kid, they show anime on Telemundo.
I was unaware of this. Telemundo? No kidding?
You did, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
And Power Rangers.
And, yep, true.
I remember Power Rangers.
Well, they had Sailor Moon first, and I had to endure that prior to watching my favorite anime, which was right after Sailor Moon.
Knights of the Zodiac?
No.
Okay.
Rurouni Kenshin.
Hey, Rurouni Kenshin. We don't talk about the author, but...
We don't talk about the author. We just enjoy the show.
We just enjoy the series. Rurouni Kenshin was actually something that I really enjoyed when I was in high school. So I'm going to put 5 minutes on the clock and you just take off and go.
Because this is a doozy. It's not only Rurouni Kenshin, it was also Senki, which started before Sailor Moon. I found out when I woke up at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, so it was early that they were airing these things.
Early.
Okay.
Especially because Senki was later on taken off Telemundo because people complained that it was satanic. But it wasn't.
They left Cardcaptor Sakura on there, though. They have tarot cards, basically.
They did. Yeah, but Senki was much worse. The thing is, Senki is a demon, and his full power is what people want. The thing is, there's this little girl, and she's a descendant of the high priest that captured Senki. And Senki was going wild and was going to attack her, but the ancestor helped her, because it happens through the series. The ancestor just pops up here and there, taking over her body, helping her out, like, hey, do this. You gotta do this right chant to get him more power and whatnot. But when he attacked her, he got nerfed majorly. He went from being buff to looking like a little kid.
I see that. I'm seeing that right now in the Google image search. Also fan service.
Yeah. Senki had the series, and it also had one OVA. The thing about Senki, though, is once you get past a certain amount on the series, it's way too many people, and they do nothing. You're like, okay, why do you got so many people as psychics, and they don't do nothing, just only Senki and the main girl do something?
So what are their goals in the anime, out of curiosity? So I'm assuming that he's just some kind of demon. She's like some kind of spirit channeler or something that's trying to like seal him away.
No. That's the thing, though.
Mm-hmm.
He came out in order to eat the fruits of evil, which they look like walnuts. But the thing is, they open their eyes, and it's an eyeball. And they take over the person, and whatever the person's vice is, if they're smoked, they become a smoking demon and whatnot. And Senki defeats them with the Vajra horn, which is, he just attacks with his elbow and a big-ass red horn appears, and he stabs them with them. And after he defeats them, he eats the evil fruit, which, like I mentioned, is a walnut with an eyeball.
And what does that do for him?
It gives him more power. Plus, it's tasty for him.
Oh, okay. So he's on a journey, not exactly on a journey, but like almost like a Goku-type character where he lives for combat?
Yes.
Except that for him, the combat is also has the reward of like giving him something that could buff his powers.
Exactly. The thing is that when he eats more and more of that, he starts to become uncontrollable by her. And whenever she cannot control him, he wants to kill her. Because if he kills her, he could be full power all the time.
So, I guess, in what is the end game to the anime, I gotta ask? So, like, I assume that there, is there, like, a certain amount of these walnuts that exist, or is,
Think of it like Sailor Moon. You know how those bad guys, they just cast a new demon all the time, and unless you kill that main bad guy, they're gonna keep popping up?
The monster of the week, then?
Yeah, it's like a monster of the week thing. Okay. I can get behind this. I think I see where this is going. Cool. Alrighty, so...
Sorry, can I...
No, by all means, Gamma's 5 minutes are over, so the question and answer round is open. Everybody okay. Hit him with everything you got. Make him think.
So they do like... Okay, so the bosses will... Or the whatever the big nemesis is... He'll make a new enemy of the week based on their vice?
Pretty much. If there was a person that was a scientist, and, well, they just drew one of those walnuts at that person, the person got curious, and, well, they became an evil scientific monster.
So it's kind of like, okay. Have you guys seen the Miraculous Ladybug show?
No.
No. Yeah, I've heard of it,
It's a kid's show, for sure, but I watched it with my brother-in-laws. They're both kids. And they watched it, and every episode has the mastermind guy, I can't remember his name. He throws out an ability basically and turns them into an evil superhero version of themselves based on whatever issue they're having, so they can solve that issue by the end of the episode. Oh. Like, oh, I'm mad at my parents for not letting me go to this concert. Next thing I know, they're like a music-based enemy. So is it kind of like that, where they take their power and turn them?
They pretty much toss it around to the best person, whoever has the strongest vice.
Okay. So if I had my vice, it'd be McDonald's. I'd become Ronald.
I think one of the episodes, one of the guy was like an eating demon or something.
I would be an eating demon. I wouldn't become Ronald McDonald. I think he's kind of a demon-like.
Especially if you've seen those Japanese ads where he's absolutely a serial killer, yeah. No question.
Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, and the girl, she got to do the chant in order to release his full power. If not, he's going to stay on the kid body all the time.
I see. This is like pre-Inuyasha Inuyasha?
Kind of.
Yeah, I see it. Okay, because like the Shikon jewel shards would like embed themselves in demons, make them stronger. And like Kagome basically has like the control over Inuyasha by telling him to sit and whatnot.
Pretty much.
Are both series based off a Japanese urban legend of some kind or mythology?
Like something, because this is a very common trope. When you think about it, because even Helsing, you know, it's like Integra has like a hold on Alucard and can release him, you know, his more monstrous form anytime she wants.
Yeah, but she get out authorize it, though.
Yeah.
Same thing with this girl, though.
Is she the love interest of him as well?
She's at first they hate each other. Then they became somewhat friends.
Enemies to lovers.
So is it like a platonic thing? Like, are they friends, or is it like, oh, they could be more?
No, they end up becoming friends over time, though, due to the fact that she saves him when he's also in a kid form, time and time again.
Never further than that, though.
And at the end, it changes from being this really dark series to being something like love is the thing that gives you power, Senki. And I'm like, you lost me there.
I was about to ask you, what are the themes? And like, hey, love is what makes you powerful, not eye nuts.
And the theme song was pretty awesome too. Vajra on, Vajra on, Vajra on, two worlds together.
Sound like you're saying Viagra for some reason. Like Viagra on, let's go, I guess. It's a rallying cry.
I gotta ask this. Do you feel like this influenced your taste in anime going forward? And could you give us some examples?
I will say that mostly that series and Rurouni Kenshin did. But Rurouni Kenshin was mostly Senosuke.
I can see that. Senosuke seems like your kind of character. 100%.
I don't know if that's a compliment or no.
No, I mean, it's not a compliment. So, you know, like, it's basically like, hey, I see that you have a certain type of character, and it's usually like the outlaw or like the guy who is kind of a, like a gangster, so to speak, but like a gangster with a heart of gold. You know what I mean? Like, so he's not a bad guy. He's just like a tough guy who's had it rough in life.
Like Beelzebub.
The demon? Like
the guy from Beelzebub.
Oh.
Like the demon? No. Like the anime one. Yeah, the anime one.
With Baby Bill.
Yes. Also, you seem to have a thing for things with a demonic mythology behind them. That's another thing.
Oh, another one that is pretty good is Ushio and Tora.
I've heard of that one. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it. Yeah, but I can 100% see that that Sanosuke would have been your favorite character in Rurouni Kenshin.
Yeah, he was the underdog. We could always do a watch party.
We should do a watch party. Zenki sounds fun. I love 90s schlock.
You know, that is actually a brilliant idea for an episode. We watch one episode from everybody's favorite anime, and now we're here to discuss.
Yeah. Ooh, follow up.
One random episode taken out of context.
Yeah, either that or like, hey, each one of us came up with one episode of anime to show the group, and now we have questions.
I'm not going to lie. Throughout the entire time, I've been trying to figure out the name of the anime that I was wanting to discuss. Cause I couldn't remember
what that's why he has to go last.
And I just found it.
Just found it. Okay, great, because you were next.
Better involve demons. We're 2 for 2 so far.
Kind of.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, kind of not really, but honestly, if whenever I was growing up and anime was a thing, it was always on TV from like Toonami or Cartoon Network. Okay. Or
I forget that Helix is way younger than the rest of us.
I think we're a year apart, actually.
I mean, I feel like I'm older than... I know I'm older than Sakura. I think I'm as old. I think
we're the same age or you're younger. I remember you said your age and I was like, oh, I'm blah, blah, blah. But I'll never reveal my age because the internet wants to know and I don't want the internet to know.
I'm pretty sure that Gamma and I are the oldest ones here.
I'm
pretty positive that Gamma and I are about the same age.
Yeah.
For me, whenever I was wanting to watch anime as a kid, I had to go watch it. I had to go figure out how to use the satellite TV to record certain shows so that I could watch it later because there was never, you couldn't just watch anime online yet whenever I got into it. So
Helix, 5 minutes, hit us.
The one that I liked that probably got me started into watching anime a lot was Mar.
Mar! Oh my gosh, I remember Mar!
This one I remember very specifically because of the fact that there was items everywhere that were like magical and you could find them and anybody could take them and use them to do whatever you wanted to was cool to me. So that one kind of just stuck with me. In fact, I had watched it again later, a couple years later. In fact, not long ago.
So tell us about the plot, about the characters, and the impact that it's had on you.
Mar, basically, like the main character, what was his name again? Genta. He wanted to go to like a magical world that he dreamed of. I think while he was at school, like a random door appeared and he ended up going through it. I think it was like a way for like, obviously, seventh grade syndrome, I guess, back then. Kids wanting to do whatever they wanted to do.
You're telling me it's an isekai.
Kinda, because I think at the end of it he goes back.
Okay. So,
yeah, probably just an early version isekai, but he ends up going to Mara where he finds I think it was a legendary weapon that everybody was after. But he ended up getting it, and him and the weapon end up going on an adventure to figure out a way for him to return home. If I remember correctly.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've seen this one too, but basically every person that he ends up coming across has another weapon like his. Only they each have their own gimmick, and he has to, and him and the way has to fight through the world.
So yeah, if I remember correctly, the legendary weapon was alive in this.
Yeah, like his was alive. I don't think anybody else's was alive.
Right.
I think his was special in that way that it was alive. They were called arms.
I remember this anime from the artwork. I remember like I picked up the manga for it one time, thinking to myself, I might read this, and I never did.
Yeah, because like it was cool because like the what was the kind of weapon? It was like a hammer with a ball attached to it. So that game that you would have to like hit,
ball in like, a cup. Yeah, it was like that.
The Mexican game where you flip it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. But like the Japanese version of it, because they have one where it looks like a hammer, and like the hammer has like a concave aspect to it on the ends of it. So whenever you flip the ball up, you catch it in the little groove inside of the hammer.
Yeah, but this was more of a you hit the ball with the hammer to hit people with it.
Right. So I guess could you explain to us a little bit about the themes in Mar? I feel like this is like a big escapism one, but like I imagine that much like many escapism fantasies, it has to have like a there's no place like home or friendship is the thing that.
Funnily enough, the protagonist meets the female protagonist, and her name is Dorothy.
Interesting.
Dorothy actually wanted this. She was a, what was it? It was a person that went around stealing arms and sells them to the highest bidder.
Okay.
And I think she tried to steal the arm that he had, but he ends up beating her, and then she just follows him around the entire time, kind of like Team Rocket, but not like Team Rocket, like more of a companion than a I'm always looking to steal your arm.
Gotcha. Like Yuffie from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, she's there to steal your materia.
Then she fails. Well, no, she doesn't fail. She just follows you around afterwards. Mm-hmm. She does steal from you.
So, did this in any way influence your taste in anime going forward?
I would say, like, because this was a heavy action anime. There was some romance, but I'd say this is more a heavy action supernatural adventure.
Right.
And in fact, even now, like, the main books I still like to read is action, adventure, supernatural. The protagonist might not always start out as being the strongest, but by the end of it, damn well he's going to be there.
So that concludes Helix's 5 minutes. Everyone lay into him with the hardest questions you got.
Do you still remember the theme song?
No.
Do you still remember
the
theme song? That's a good question.
I didn't even remember the name.
Somehow I've never heard of this show. Like, literally, I watched Unami at the exact time this came out and did not remember this show.
I'd say this one was a very niche one. Because most of the ones I watched was Toonami. And this one actually aired back in December of 06, which I think is when I got into it. Definitely whenever I got into it.
I watched The Prince of Tennis on there sometimes.
On Toonami?
Yeah, Prince of Tennis was on Toonami.
Yeah, Prince of Tennis was on Toonami. I can attest to that. I watched it because I play tennis.
I watched it because my favorite voice actor is in it.
I do remember. You do play tennis, don't you?
Yeah. I'm not going to admit if I tried anything that they tried in the show. I will. That's just...
So I remember Mar specifically because it had an aesthetic to it. And I just posted the cover for the manga in the chat. And I always remember thinking to myself whenever I was first getting into anime, I was like, this looks like it's aimed at a younger demographic.
Oh, definitely. If you go watch it now, it's not that easy to watch.
Please elaborate why.
Yeah, I need to know because I was going to watch it.
It doesn't translate very well. Like the old cringy, what was that one show?
It kind of looks like Fairy Tail to me.
Fairy Tail is a good example, except that Fairy Tail is like the older, cooler Mar. You know what I mean? Like Mar is Mar in middle school, but Fairy Tail is Mar in high school, right? Like senior year.
I feel like
of high
it's
school.
More slapstick though, too. But I guess that's like I don't like slapstick.
Like bo 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 bo.
No,
nothing is like bo
nothing
bo bo
bo bo bo.
I forgot how many bows there were.
Bo bo bo.
No sir attack.
It is, if I remember this correctly, it's three bows, followed by two bows, followed by four bows.
Wow.
Bo, 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 bo,
I remember because I counted
I did say it almost
one
right.
time. Yeah.
I was off by one bow. My bad. I'll return to the cave and study harder for next time.
You bowed or believe it.
I mean, there was a couple that came out around that
or
time.
Or you can leave, it's okay.
Probably got a lot of... people into anime like Rave Master.
Dude, Rave Master is my fucking shit, though.
I never saw the ending to Rave Master. What happened? Well, actually, don't spoil it for me. I'm gonna watch it someday.
Well, firstly, the anime never concluded, so like you can't watch it. But I have all of the manga, and I can tell you, it's weirder than you think.
Does he end up with the main girl?
Wasn't there a game about it, too?
There was a game about it, and I downloaded it on... perfectly legally, and the thing about it was, it I couldn't figure it out because it didn't have an English version. So I was trying to play it in Japanese, completely unaware of what the objectives were or anything.
So who's the love interest in Mar? Back to Mar, I guess. Is it Dorothy? Is she the actual?
I mean, no, because the love interest was one of his classmates that ended up going to the world looking for him.
So it's like Digimon Tamers, then, where the love interest is the girl from his class and not the main girl.
Yeah, well...
Oh, God, I could write a whole thesis on Jerry from Digimon Tamers.
Yeah. She got a lot of unneeded flack back in the day.
It wasn't even the flack, dude. I was like, God, this was a very heavy story for, like, a child demographic.
I love it. It's like, the best Digimon series to date.
I hear that arguably Ghost Game has upped it. Like, Digimon Ghost Game, I hear that compared to Tamers, Ghost Game is up there.
It was Snow. Snow was the...
love interest?
Yeah, the love interest, yeah.
Googling now.
It sounds to me like it had a very fairy tale type theming in that case when you really think about it, because Snow, like Snow White, Dorothy, like, you know, Wizard of Oz, it sounds like it to me, going on an epic journey throughout a fantasy land, all
then
that.
There's also Alvis. I think Alvis was the one that actually summoned the main character to the world.
Who? Alvis?
Alvis.
At least said Elvis. I'm like, okay.
Like, Elvis? Can you
We're going with
that?
Elvis. Hey, you know what? They had an Elvis Digimon, all right? He followed around season one.
Edamon, yes. And that was a complete, like, dub thing that did not exist in the
original.
It
was so good in the dub, though.
I know. Like, that guy, like, really just chewed the scenery, and it was excellent. But, so Helix, tell us something. Let's see. You said you didn't remember the theme song, but you watched it? It wasn't like something you read? There was a dub for this running around?
Yeah, this was on Toonami? Yeah.
That's the first thing you said.
That's the first thing I said. He's right.
You know, here's the thing, because like every time I think of Toonami, I'm like, it had Cowboy Bebop, Outlaw Star, Dragon Ball Z, and Rurouni Kenshin. Like, in my head, those are the shows that were on
Toonami.
Those
were on the midnight run. Those were on the late night part of Toonami. Later on, it was in the afternoons.
Sure. Like, I found it because I was looking through the Wikipedia on Toonami, trying to figure out where it came from. But yeah, it was like 2006 that it aired.
Did you guys watch Zatch Bell? Random question.
Yes.
Zatch Bell was also another one that I was going to mention.
I could not get over the character's look.
Did you know that they did a sequel to Zatch Bell where he came back?
I did. Yes. My cousin's in love with it.
In fact, if there's one that y'all should go watch that's like, if y'all like racing, the Immortal Grand Prix.
Oh,
I remember Immortal Grand Prix. It was really good. It's like mechs, but they're racing on like this grand like highway.
It reminded me of Speed Racer, but with like
a little bit, yes. Like, but except like instead of like really cool cars, they have mechs.
Exactly, and they can fight.
And the mechs have weapons and shit. It's wild. It's like G Gundam meets Speed
exactly,
Racer. It's weird.
Exactly.
Say more.
Like, Toonami.
Say more.
Yeah,
yeah,
say more.
I'm not interested yet. Keep going.
Toonami had so many good animes during their time.
So I guess I'm gonna set the timer for myself. And you know what? I don't trust myself to abide by the timer. Gamma.
What?
Set a timer for 5 minutes for me, because I will, I promise I will ignore it when it starts beeping. So my anime that I watched that got me into the genre was Bible Black. And this is a story of a guy who gets caught in a big witchcraft thing. He goes to a high school where he discovers like this hidden tome in the basement, right? And it turns out this hidden tome gives him all kinds of abilities, such as controlling people. By tapping into their emotions, he can cast spells and things like that. However, things are a lot more dangerous than what initially appears, because there are people out there who want... I'm kidding.
I was waiting for you to stop.
Yeah, I was like...
I was about to go right into the fact that this is a hentai.
I was going to go like, I called it!
Like, I was going to describe the entirety of it without ever mentioning.
I was really hoping you would, so that we would get demonetized or something like that. And then,
like, I was just, you know how you describe, like, a plot badly? I was just going to describe the entire plot, but never touch on the sex.
The real plot.
Yeah, the actual plot. and so, for me, it was Pokemon. And I guess I should preface this by saying that, you know, like, again, initially the theme of this episode was going to be like, tell us your first anime, but that's difficult to remember. I was going to have the same problem that Helix had, where he couldn't exactly, like, tell us what the name was, let alone what it was about. And you know, you kind of had to do, like, a Wikipedia search. So my first anime was Robotech. Because the country where I grew up was, you know, like, and I grew up, like, watching cartoons and stuff in the 90s, but my country was very behind the time, so we didn't get the 80s until, like, 1995, right? So we were watching things like Voltron and Robotech and Thundercats and stuff, like, way past the time when they were airing, like, in their initial run. So I grew up with, like, Robotech, Dragon Ball, Voltron, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and Knights of the Zodiac, and I remember all of those very vaguely. Like, I remember the titles, and I remember the main character, and I remember that they were fighting other dudes. What the actual plot was, or what, and the reason why I didn't, like, want to, like, talk about those specifically is because I, at that time, I was a fan of all things animation. So they, even though I liked them, I didn't know them to be anime specifically. The first time that I knew that something was an anime specifically was whenever I watched Pokemon, which was, like, the first one that, like, really, really got me hooked onto the genre. And I was dragged kicking and screaming into it because all of my classmates would not stop talking about Pokemon. And you guys know how I am, that whenever something gets really, really popular, I have, like, this adverse reaction to it. So I didn't want to, like, do anything regarding it. Anyway, the story.
FOMO? Weren't you the same way with, the Nezuko and...
No, Demon Slayer?
Yeah, that one.
No. But, like, so basically, quick story review, because I see that we're getting to the end of my 5 minutes. But, you know, like, hey, story of a guy from Pallet Town who is the worst Pokemon trainer in history. And little by little, he starts learning. You know, he got there late to get his first Pokemon, which his first choice was Charmander. He ended up going with a Pikachu, which is the last thing that they had left. And it was the beginning of a beautiful story, arguably, you know, like a generation defining story that to this day is a multimedia juggernaut. Like, even if you didn't keep up with Ash's journeys beyond, like, the initial Indigo League, which seems to be where everybody just kind of said goodbye to him initially, only to come back and, you know, cheer for him as he became the world champion. The thing about it is, Pokemon always touched on those themes of, like, friendship and, you know, like, perseverance and self-improvement and things like that. All things that really, as a kid... affected me because, you know, like, I, as I've said a million times, my choices in, you know, in careers and literally anything have never been the easiest things. So, like, it's almost like a mantra of mine. Like, I want to be the very best like no one ever was. And that has stuck with me. And it's almost like, today where people say, like, I do the right thing because that's what Himmel the hero would do. To me, it's like, I don't give up because Ash Ketchum never gave up. You know, it's kind of one of those things. Yeah, and the one thing that I wanted to say about this is that it wasn't specifically, like, just Pokemon itself, because at around the same time, the entire genre of monster collecting anime just kind of hit the States, because everybody wanted to be the thing that took Pokemon down, right? So we got Pokemon, we got Digimon real fast, we got Metabots, which is kind of the same thing. We got, like, Yu-Gi-Oh, which I'm a huge fan of to this day.
Monster Rancher. Could you forget the Monster Rancher?
Monster Rancher. Flint the Time Detective. Like, dude, like, Dinosaur King, Beyblade. I was all about all of these things. You know, like, I was like, if it has a monster that you can collect and they use it to fight other monsters, that was my fucking jam. And so, like, Pokemon was huge for me in that, like, it was just as soon as I watched it and, you know, and I overcame my adversity to it, where I'm like, ah, this is that popular thing that everyone loves. I don't know that I want to get into this because then I'm just like them. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, wow, they were onto something. This is amazing. And, you know, like I ended up getting like the blue version for my Game Boy. And I put so much time into that blue version, like 900 and some odd hours. It was insane. And I started collecting the cards and I started doing this, started doing that. And then whenever I watched Digimon and I saw that Digimon was kind of the same, but it had like kind of like that plot where like, hey, we're kids transported to an alternate world where we're far away from our families. And, you know, like the reason for our journey is that we want to go back home. But at the same time, going back home means saying goodbye to the friends that we made on this side. And so like it's the same thing, but it carries that kind of emotional drama. And additionally, after a while, it becomes like, okay, well, if you don't defeat the evil in this world, then your world falls to pieces. So now it's got like those raised stakes. And it's another one of those anime where like, oh no, people will fucking die here. I still remember Leomon biting it. I remember Waymon dying. I remember, you know, like fucking Metal Seedramon put a hole through Waymon's head. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, oh God, this is like Pokemon, but metal, you know? And like, so I started like developing this taste for like, okay, so things like Pokemon exist, but that carry like this narrative weight behind them that I really enjoy. And so, like, my taste went from being like, hey, this is the happy adventure of a kid and his friend, to, hey, this is the happy adventure of kids and their friends that go through some shit, to, like, hey, this is the adventure of a kid that's misunderstood. He's kind of a bad boy, but not so bad, and you know what? He could do better, but if he really... It'll take a lot of work to get to that other side, to, hey, this is the story of a guy who did a lot of bad in the past, and now he's working really hard to undo the sins that he's committed, or to make amends for like the, and so on and so forth. You know, it's like, hey, anime was just like this ever evolving thing for me, where I'm like, I gotta watch the next thing and see what kind of story it'll tell me then. You know, and I really enjoyed it compared to like the way that American animation is written. Because American animation is usually written with like a monster or problem of the week type mentality, where the characters will by and large return to the status quo at the end of an episode. There is growth for the sake of the episode. You know, the character starts off with like this misguided notion that they have internalized. And then throughout the episode, you'll hit the theme where it's like, so as it turns out, being a douchebag isn't good, and you should be a kind person, you know, to just kind of be better as a human being, right? And it's like, at the end, it's like, oh, you guys, and then next episode, it's like, that never happened, you know? But like, anime had like this thing where it's like, from episode to episode, we are carrying the lessons forward that we learned in the episode previous. And over the course of a story arc, your character will be categorically different at the end of it than he was at the beginning. And that just was so dope to me. I was like, I love that. And so, yeah, like it started off with Pokemon, and now it is just like a whole thing that I have this podcast where I invite you guys all the time to talk about new anime with me, where I spend entirely too long talking about like the highlights and the low points and characters and story and art and stuff like that. But you know what? I think that I have a lot of fun doing so.
And all right, that's 10 that, minutes.
Oh, well.
It's been 11 minutes, actually.
6 minutes over.
We're here. I was gonna see where he ended. I'm like, all right, we'll sit here, we'll quietly wait, let Bart talk himself out, and then we'll go into it.
Oh, that won't happen.
You had one job, Gavin.
I was gonna go like, and now we pile on him.
Yeah, now pile on me. Go for it.
What's your favorite season of Pokemon? Like, or yeah, arc.
Oh, so. Contrary to what everyone says, everyone in my age demographic says that their favorite was Indigo, but my favorite was X and Y. And the reason why is because the animation was at an all-time high. And there was actual, like, the evil team did some pretty gnarly stuff through it. Ash was at the height of his game, actually being a very intuitive, very intelligent battler. So his victories felt earned a lot of the time. And more than anything, I liked the fact that Serena, his female traveling companion for that season, developed a crush on him and actually kissed him before they parted ways.
Aww. So she had a crush on him from the beginning, realized who he was, right? And then that became her story arc, unlike everybody else who has somewhat of a story arc. Like, oh, I'm actually not a battler. I actually like, you know, showing my Pokemon.
The Pokemon contest. Whenever it's a female traveling companion, that's their thing. We don't battle. We do Pokemon contests. I do have to say that X and Y to me was just peak Pokemon. And like the movies that came out during that time, fantastic. Ash Greninja, arguably, like, just more iconic than Ash's Charizard. Just arguably so. Like, I would be like, I would fight anyone who tells me that Greninja is not a more iconic partner to Ash than Charizard was.
I am of the firm belief that the reason Squirtle and Bulbasaur never evolved because they saw what a douchebag Charmander became after he evolved.
I agree with that. I am a firm believer. I am now too. Thank you.
I love that theory. That is now my headcanon.
You can't convince me otherwise.
Additionally, I do have to say this. X and Y had a remix of the original Pokemon theme that isn't as iconic, but it was still a banger.
The second song in X and Y is actually my favorite of the entire anime.
Oh, the one that was like, I stand tall because I know I'm a winner. Yes.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that
good.
Song.
I
yeah.
put that one.
I like Johto's song too. It gets stuck in my head so easily.
Yeah, I keep that one specifically in my gym playlist because I'm like, that is just too good. I can't not.
Did you ever listen to the Pokemon album that came out in the United States back during the very first season of the show where they made like a
to
whole
be a
album?
Master? Owned it. Like, what are you talking about?
So is On the Road to Viridian City the best song or?
Oh, okay, On the Road to Viridian City is pretty good. I like the Team Rocket song.
Did you have the Christmas song or album too?
I didn't have the Christmas album though. I had the one from Pokemon the first movie though.
Isn't On the Road to Viridian City that one song that like everybody's been listening to now with Toothless?
Oh no. The one that you're thinking about, it's actually a song that comes from one of the games. It comes from Black and White, and it is the theme to Driftvale City.
Yeah, Drift. There we go. That one. Yeah. I knew it was Black and White. I thought it was. I don't know why I thought, thought it was.
On the Road to Viridian City is like this, like, kind of.
On the Road to Viridian City, meet my friends along the way. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole album had kind of like a bluesy sound. I liked it. Jazzy.
It did, yes. Let's see. I liked the Team Rocket theme song. There was also the one that was like, what kind of Pokemon are you? How do you do the things you do?
That one's really good too, actually. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
I think Hoenn's my favorite, though, for seasons, because I had a huge crush on May as a kid.
Same.
I still think Hoenn was my favorite, like, just all around.
Now, here's the weird thing. I thought X and Y was the superior anime, but I thought that, but to me, to this day, Generation 3 of Pokemon, which is Hoenn, is still the best game.
I really love the Hoenn movies, too. They're so good.
What is it? Emerald? I love playing Emerald.
That was my first like solo Pokemon game because I just share them with my brothers because, you know, I have a lot of siblings. But this is the first time I had a game all to myself and it was Emerald. And so I played that everywhere.
I remember I wanted to skip Ruby and Sapphire initially because I didn't have like a Game Boy Advance. And I didn't care. Like at the time I was in high school, so I was kind of like, you know what? I'll skip it. You know, like my job at the time I was making pizza, and the amount of money I would have to raise to like buy a Game Boy was just like, that is too many hours and going to high school and I just can't. I ended up getting from my sister, I got like a Game Boy Advance SP for my birthday, which is the one that looks like a flip phone. Mm-hmm.
I have two of them.
Yeah. And with it, I got like Pokemon Ruby. And she's like, yeah, you know, happy birthday. And I was like, you are the best sister on the planet. And like, I swear, like I got sucked into like the third generation of Pokemon. And I'm still 100% like, no, this was the best generation of games.
The fact that you can go fight both Kyogre and Groudon. I loved Emerald so much.
In Emerald, you could do that. I was going to say, in Ruby and Sapphire, you could not.
Yeah, you only got one or the other. I played Ruby and I played Emerald, but I put more work into Emerald.
I like the yellow version a lot, too. And Pikachu follow you around and yell at you or whatever. That was great.
I saw a thing recently where people were discussing the top 10 highest rated Pokemon games on IGN. And to no one's surprise, Heart Gold and Soul Silver were at the top.
Who's your favorite rival?
Let me think. My favorite rival, that is a good question. I can tell you who my least favorite rival is, and that's Hao. And the reason why, because Hao is the rival in Sun and Moon.
Wait, and have you seen the whole anime?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Continue.
So my least favorite rival is Hao. And the reason I don't like Hao is because he's so cheerful and so chipper. And it's like, you're supposed to be unlikable. You're a rival. And the thing is, you can't not like him. The closest you can get to it is that he's in love with like these pastries that they only make in Alola called Malasadas. And he will not shut up about those things. And it's the only thing that I'm like, I do not like this about Hao. But the rest of anything, it's like, Hao's a nice kid. I like him. You know?
Who's your favorite companion then?
My favorite companion is Serena. There was always the question, who was the canon love interest for Ash, right? And everybody always said Misty. And I never agreed because I was like, they seem like good friends, but I don't feel like that love interest, despite what like the original soundtrack album mm-hmm. would have you believe, right? Because they had a whole song about how she loves him, but I'm like, nah.
They won in the Christmas absolutely. Song too, where they get underneath the mistletoe. It's literally called Underneath the Mistletoe. Like,
absolutely fucking not, right? But Serena was like, hey, she's interested in him, and this is a real thing. And like, there was entire episodes where Serena would like step up to the bat for Ash, you know, and it was kind of like, no, there is no question in my mind now, because it feels weird, because like, it canonically in Pokemon they're 10, right? But
they're 12 actually past right. season one.
So the thing about it is, though, it's like it really felt like if there was ever one where I'm like, yeah, this is it. To me, that was it, because it was like I remember very specifically there was an episode and I was like, this is exactly what you would expect. Like, you know, like, I don't know, adult Ash's wife to for this to be a misadventure that she had. And it's something that they look back on fondly. And the thing was, Ash was sick. You know, he had like a fever and he had passed out. And a guy came up and he was like challenging Ash Ketchum from Pallet Town to a battle. But Serena didn't want Ash to look like he wouldn't battle, or to have him look weak, because this guy was just kind of being a huge douche. So she put on Ash's clothes and pretended to be him and got his Pokemon to kind of agree to go with it. And it was just a really fun episode, right? And at the end, you know, Ash is like, oh, I'm healthy now. And the guy, he was kind of a douche, but like he ended up being a really good sport about it. And he's like, oh, wow, Ash, you have some great friends that would stand up for you like this, man. This is great. You know, like, I really respect you for that. And Ash is all like, okay, well, now that I'm all better, you want a Pokemon battle? He's like, absolutely. And I was like, this is exactly the kind of content that I'm here for. It's fantastic.
I knew you were going to say that episode the second you said, oh, this is the episode to look back upon fondly. I'm like, oh, yeah, when she wore his clothes. I got you.
When she wore his clothes, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good episode, actually. So I took a long break from Pokemon and came back during X and Y because a YouTuber I was following was talking about it. And I also played the games and really liked them. That's what also got me back into Pokemon regular, the actual games. Mm-hmm. So X and Y was my series, for sure.
X and Y was excellent, for sure. I guess my least favorite, or my favorite rival, because I'm still thinking about this, and I gotta say Blue, you know, because the thing about it is, though, he established like very early on that he was your rival, you know, like he was an unlikable douche the entire game. Like every time he would show up, he would show up after you just gone through a gauntlet of trainers. And your Pokemon were near death, and you were out of potions, and you know this and that. And he'd show up just to fight you, right? Like right as you were least ready for him. And in my mind, I'm like, this is exactly what a rival would do, right? He would show up just to stunt on you, and it always felt like so organic because I never knew where to expect him. You know, like, so, like, I would just be walking through beating up Team Rocket grunts, and after like my 1,000th Zubat knockout, there's Blue with like a really powerful team and I'm not ready for him. And it's just like, oh, of course this is where he would be. So yeah, Blue, excellent rival.
I know, I haven't met him in a while and he should be showing up here soon. Oh, look, there he is.
I know, right?
I mean, to be fair, like, we killed his Raticate.
Yeah, according to the fan theory, yes, his Raticate died because we beat him on the SS Anne.
Mm-hmm. And then that's why you find him in the tower later.
And that's why he's in the tower later. Yeah, and suddenly his Raticate is no longer on his team.
As a classic Creepypasta fan, I know the story well.
Oh.
Yes, this is a 9 out of 10 story. I dig it.
Do you know that on Pokemon Horizon, they showed three primates dying on the show?
I did not.
They died to become their last evolution.
Yeah, they have a stroke to...
There's the ghost fighting, yes. I just remembered. Like, the thing is, like, the recent Pokemon games have, like, not really been very memorable, with a few exceptions. Like, maybe some characters, I'm like, okay, I do remember this character. And sometimes it's for good reasons. Like, I do think that Leon, the champion in Sword and Shield, is endearing in that he's kind of goofy. But I struggle to remember literally anything else from the recent games. So, like, new Pokemon evolutions, I know that, like, Primeape has a final evolution, and I don't remember what it's called. I just remember that it's a ghost type.
Annihilate.
Yeah, that one.
Annihilate.
Wait, that's kind of a great name, actually. What?
It is a pretty fucking great name.
I don't know how I feel about them having to have a heart attack and die to become it, though. That seems...
Thank you guys for sharing your anime stories with us. And until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. These have been the boys.
Yeah.
Yes, we are here.
Adios!